This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Also, Warriors Wednesday is brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Yeah, listen, all you Pods haters out there, I get it. I understand it. I'm curious why we haven't heard more of it before this week. I guess that's kind of, if I want to just Cliff's Notes the way I feel about it, you can dislike him. You can think he gets just blown by constantly. He sucks sideways. I don't know why he even plays. If that's your opinion, I'm surprised that I haven't heard that very often until now.
It's been out there. Maybe you've tuned it out, but many fans have been saying this for, not many fans, the majority, but a lot of fans.
Like this?
Yes. A lot of fans look at Kuminga getting screwed and Moody getting iced, and they think, oh, but you let Pods go out there and play 30 minutes a game.
I hear that, but not like this. It has not sounded at all like this.
It hasn't been like this.
Well, but
1 for 10, 3 for 14.
Right. So.
I mean, this has been bad.
Like, dude, we're old enough to remember when Barry Bonds couldn't get a hit in the playoffs.
Right.
So then, he sucks. Like,
well, in October, it was a fact.
Until it wasn't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Pods is not Barry Bonds. Pods is a second-year guy.
Of course not. You understand my point.
I do.
My point is that we don't make decisions on people based on 65 minutes of basketball. We don't do that because...
72, but you're right.
Whatever. It's a weak take. It's thoughtless.
But see, I disagree with that because this is playoff basketball.
I know
that. And he, in these big playoff moments, he has been... bad, and he looks bad by the naked eye. When you watch him shoot, he looks tentative, and he looks like the moment is too big.
Yes,
for him.
More bad than good, but no, not all bad. You're only judging the last two games. He also saved their bacon one time,
right?
Game 4 against Houston,
1 out of 11 so far.
Understood. Who's saying he's been good? He's been awful,
right? So you're making it seem like those of us who are down on him are judging him on two games.
Yeah, that's what I feel.
Yeah,
yes,
and that's not what I'm saying.
Because your opinion has not been what it is right now on Brandon Podziemski until those two games.
It has been one of disappointment, but the last two games has made it even more highlighted.
You think all year you've been down?
No, not all year. I'm looking at the postseason.
Okay,
I'm looking at the playoffs, the regular season is a completely different being. Like, regular season basketball is just, you're going up and down. Not a lot of high leverage basketball.
Of course. And I also feel like playing on the Warriors without Steph Curry is a different animal. I think that's a totally different animal.
And that's fair. And I look at the games that he's played in the postseason with Steph Curry, and he has not looked great outside of the one game against Houston.
Mr. D in the city. Hey, Mr. D, what's going on? Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I think we're looking at this thing wrong. I mean, I hear people saying, we just got to win one more game to get Steph back. You know what that is? get ready for it, and I'll pay whatever I have to pay.
Yeah!
It's a fixation sensation.
Cha-ching!
Yes, sir. It's a fixation sensation. If I were the Warriors, I wouldn't play Curry anymore in this series because it's not worth it. If these guys can't buckle down and get it done in this series, then they don't deserve to go any further. But can you imagine what would happen with a fresh Steph in the Western Conference Finals? We're going to be championship.
Well, I don't know about that either. There was a long way to go. There still is. But, Mr. D, I think your point about Steph is just it's not a conversation until tomorrow. Like this whole, he might be right. The whole, don't play Steph at all in this series. Maybe they won't. They may know already that they're not. But it's not a conversation until tomorrow. But if the Warriors win tonight, you best believe it is a conversation.
No doubt. And if he is healthy enough to play, he's going to play on Sunday if there is a game six. And that's what Steve Kerr said to us yesterday. It comes down to Rick Celebrini, the doctor, and Steph Curry and how he's feeling and whether or not he's good to go. If he's not good to go and you really need him in game seven, let's just say hypothetically, he doesn't play game six and you get to a game seven and it's like, man, if Steph can play, you got a chance to win this. If he's not ready, he's not playing.
Of course not. Yeah, Grandy, what do you got?
Steve Kerr is speaking right now in Minnesota ahead of game number five. This comes courtesy of our Warriors insider, Anthony Slater, who you heard earlier this morning with the two Joes on the morning roast.
Yep.
But Slater says that Steve Kerr on Steph Curry said, quote, it's a possibility he could play game six.
Ooh. Okay, I have thoughts.
Yeah, of course it's a possibility.
Well, Robert, right.
He wouldn't be ruled out hours after the team released a statement saying he's doing on-court workouts and we'll get back to you on Saturday.
Right, but you also know better than anyone in the world because we talk to him every week, he doesn't need to say what he just said. The intrigue is not what he said, it's that he said it. Because what did he say when we tried to get that out of him yesterday? Oh, we'll have an update some other time.
He said wait for the statement.
Yep, and they've already made the statement, so he easily could have said the same thing to Anthony Slater today. Well, we'll have another update on Saturday. Not something we're thinking about right now. We got a game to play. I wonder one of two things. Either this is at least a little glimmer that maybe Steph is progressing very, very well, or I wonder if in some way this statement is meant for the players who are playing tonight to almost kind of dangle a carrot in front of them.
Get them extra motivation.
Like, go get one game. Go get one game. And then maybe we'll give you the rest of the cards in your deck back. I wonder.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, psychological games are part of coaching.
Yes, but I think the team would already know that based on how Steph is looking. I don't think that they're going to wait for a Steve Kerr press conference before the game to think, ooh, man, there's the carrot that's been dangled. I know what you're saying, but I would imagine the team was there at shoot-around or whatever on-court light workout Steph did.
And of course.
So they could probably see for themselves, like, ooh, the chef is moving well. I know he can't play tonight, but I think he looks good for a possible Sunday.
Maybe, but they're also not with Steph when he gets back in the back with Celebrini and all the, the ins and outs. And maybe Steph is openly talking to all of them about it. I have no idea. But I don't think the story is what he said. I think it's that he said it. I always do. I always find that interesting because they don't have to tell you just because the microphone's on.
And he usually doesn't.
Right.
And I don't know what the question was, but it probably was, if you get back on Sunday for a game six, do you think Steph would be able to play?
No, I'm looking at the question right now. I have the whole transcript right here in front of me.
Okay.
The question was, hey, Steve, would you say something now that you wouldn't say to Willard and Dibbs yesterday?
I haven't given that any thought.
So then he did. He said Steph Curry might play on Sunday.
Well, first of all, I don't really care.
So anyway.
Oh, yeah, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Steve. Let's go to Marco in Sonoma. Warriors live in 20 minutes. The game is only an hour 20 minutes away. Hi, Marco. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Good. Driving home, so got to listen to the last 30, 40 minutes. And here's what there's a few things. So let's talk about Pods. I think on whole for the season, he's been a great addition. He's had a very good season. However, he has had holes in his defense the whole entire season. And I think they are getting in this second round, what I think is the issue and why people are so fired up is we've got other options to bring in and we haven't been bringing them in. Right. And I think this round is just, the rhythm is off. I think that was a great use of the word rhythm. His rhythm is off. And I think the moment has become too big. I think with Steph going down, the emotion around that, you know, what's been put on maybe his shoulders is a bit too much. So what I would like to see Kerr do is like move in some of these other pieces. I think Moody is a much better defender. And granted, he's not having a great offensive side this series as well either, but we need someone to, you know, help with that defensive stopping piece. And I think just Pods is in his head right now. He might break out of it, might not. But what people, I think, are fired up about, Willard, is just like the sheer amount of minutes he's getting with this type of play. And I just think you've got other pieces on that bench that you can throw in. But on the whole, I agree with Coach Kerr. He is a very intelligent kid, reads things very well. I just think this moment's gotten to him. And you know, a couple callers ago, I think it was Coach who was one of the callers. I think you do got to adapt and adjust, and I think we're not seeing that in the last two games. And I think that's why everyone's fired up. And they're, quite honestly, they're freaked out. They don't want to go home, right? They want to see this season go on. So you get a lot of people, you know, grasping at straws. One other thing.
Yeah.
This whole thing about who's starting, people that get concerned with that are people that don't understand basketball, in my honest opinion. It's not who starts. It's who you have in there at crunch time and who finishes the game, right? This whole thing about who starts, who doesn't, I don't really care. I just want to see significant minutes for the guys that are contributing at the right time. That's really what it's about. So, look, I think we're going to come out hard tonight. We got to give it all. It's, you know, it's win or go home, and I would love to see us at least push it back home and see if we can get Steph back out on the court.
Marco, it's a good call. Appreciate it. Here's the one thing that I would ask, though. Like I did, okay, is Moses Moody a better defender than Pies? Of course he is. Of course he is. But if what you're mad about is Brandon Pajemski shooting and you're saying he's in his head, and then in the next sentence you're like, so let's give Moody a shot.
Right.
I'm sorry. How would you describe Moses Moody right now on offense?
Well, he snapped out of his funk, although he's 1-for-17 in the last five games in the playoffs.
He has scored 6 points in this series.
He hit a three in garbage time in game four, and that was the first basket he'd made in 9 days.
Correct. And he hit three free throws in game two, which was largely, if memory serves, kind of garbage time-esque as well. So, he not shooting the ball.
No,
he's
not
been,
playing.
He's been even worse. Now, I don't even hate the idea because they're both doing the same thing. They both shoot threes that don't go in. One of them's better on defense than the other. Do you want to try that? Go right ahead.
Yeah, they're not going to try that.
If you can explain it to me, then go ahead and do it. And maybe they won't try it. Maybe they will.
They won't try it.
I don't even know.
Because of what Steve said to us about Pods and him being able to connect everything and he's a great player, is what Steve said. And
he said he's a ball player.
He's a ball player.
Ball player.
And you know, Moses Moses is lost. And I tweeted out Moses milk carton because Moses doesn't get a chance to play, and he clearly, in the coach's eyes, has fallen way out of favor. He couldn't get into any of these last couple of games other than at the end.
0-for-5, 0-for-4, 0-for-5, 0-for-0, and 1-for-3. Yep. Those are Moses' last five
games.
That's
1-for-17.
Yeah. But he scored 13 in game 6 against the Rockets. How about Joe in San Jose? What's up, Joe? Thanks for calling.
Okay, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Very intense conversation, I have to say. A lot of good points. I just want to say that I think the Warriors are being overcoached because I see a lot of possessions with a time expire and guys have open shots and they pass it up because they're just trying to pass the ball. I don't know why. You got open shots and they pass it up and the time expires. It is a waste possession, and that's on coaching because I guess Steve Kerr wants them to pass the ball. So I think a lot of this, Steve Carr take some of the blame too. And about Pods, I just think the stage is too big for him. I mean, you can go second round playoff, first round playoff. I mean, the regular season, the first round playoff. But each round gets intense. It gets very intense. And I think the stage is too big for him. And Steve Kerr gave him a chance to see if he could shoot out of it. But and that's why a lot of fans get upset, because each round gets intense. You know, it's very intense. Believe me. And so the fans have the right to get upset, because each round is intense and they want their team to go forward. So that's to be expected. So don't be surprised when fans get upset about, you know, Pods not playing at this stage, you know. And that's all I want to say. Thanks for taking my call.
Joe, thank you for calling. I am not surprised at the way fans are responding at all. I'm bummed by the way fans are responding, and I am not above calling out what I have heard from so many fans, which to me is not even about Brandon Pajemski. It's not about any one Warrior. It is about what I feel is a complete dismissal of the importance of Steph Curry on this basketball team. I've been shocked by how people have sort of transitioned from, ooh, we going to be championship, although we all need Jimmy and Steph to be healthy, and then the second Steph's not healthy, so many people transition to, oh, we can still win. We can still win, and now we're going to hold a bunch of role players accountable for not being able to step up to be key players. They're not key players. They're role players.
He's your starting two guard.
Yeah, so that's not a key player. Well, not all five starters are key players.
Right, but if you're playing 30 minutes a night, you're not a role player, in my opinion.
No, you're not a key player if you're not asked to go score 15 to 20 a night in the NBA, in my opinion.
Well, he's asked to be, you know, get at 11 to 12 a night, so he's, you know, he's done it all year in the regular season, so when you do lose Steph Curry, then you're looking for somebody to step up and take on more of the scoring. And you're right, it's going to be harder without Steph on everybody. Jimmy said that after game one, but you're a guy who's getting 33, 39, and 33 minutes, and you would hope that he'd go out there and score more than 27 points in three games.
And he did. He did average. You asked for 11 a night. That's what he averaged in the Rockets series. 11 a night.
Right.
It's exactly what he averaged.
And now you don't have Steph, so you're going to need that to come up a little bit. And you're 11 a night. So he's gotten 33 points in the last three games on 33 shots.
No. 11 a night in the Rockets series.
Yeah, yes.
He's only averaging 7.5 a night in the Minnesota series.
Right.
But again, I would like, I love that you just said that. You want players to get better in the absence of Steph, but most of them have gotten worse. And that's just the reality. That's the reality of it.
Right. I just bristle at him being called a role player, because he's not. He's your starting two guard.
I absolutely would describe Pods as a role player.
Well, if you have a guy who's a starter and he's playing 35 minutes a night, then he's not a role player.
I think the Warriors have three people who are not role players. Steph, Jimmy, Draymond.
Well, Steph's out. So.
Right. So now you got, I mean, and that's the point. Now you need someone else to be a key player. And Kuminga, because of a new style of offense, is going to come in and say, well, I can do some of that. Okay,
yep.
Fine. Well,
and he has.
How about you?
Two losses.
You moonlight as a key player. Okay, and he has. But I like the other ones, if you ask them to be key players, you can ask all you want.
Well,
doesn't mean they can.
Gary Payton II coming off the bench in 18 to 20 minutes, that's a role player. And Pods is playing 39 and 33 minutes. You're a starting two guard.
Yeah, we define it differently. Then. Yeah. And that's fine. That's fine. Sam in San Ramon. Hi, Sam. What's up?
Hey, guys. Just want to agree with you that we need a reality check here, because Minnesota is a good team. They were also hot at the end of the season like the Warriors. And they got three great players. They got Randall, they got Gobert, and Ant-Man. And without having Stephen Curry, I mean, there's no expectation. I mean, what are we expecting? It's an impossibility to win a series. But one point I want to make is, at the first game when Curry went out and we still were playing pretty good, Green was making the three-pointers. And that brought out Gobert and freed up the middle. And I think the way to win, if they can win, which is going to be hard, is have three-point shooters that are decent, at least on the court. and go small and, you know, clear up that middle, because you got Kuminga and you got the, you know, Jimmy that go, you know, they want to drive in and the middle is clogged up. It's not going to work.
Sam, who are those three-point shooters? Do they have three?
I don't know, but the, you know, the best that they can get. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
but you know, it's from the baseline, you can make easier three-pointers, but you got to pass it around and you have an open shot. Take it, miss it or make it. At least you took it.
I don't disagree with that. Yeah, Sam, thanks. I think that is the problem, though. You've watched so many fewer three-point shots even go up because A, they don't have as many who are good at it, and B, they've had a very, very hard time even generating those open looks with Steph Curry not on the floor. I don't disagree that I think that there are certain Warrior players, if not a lot of them, who have had a hard time sort of rewinding or rewiring themselves in the absence of Steph, which is to say, if a shot is like maybe open and Steph's on the floor, they've all been wired. Don't do that. Don't do that. We're running the offense through Steph. Now, in the absence of Steph, you probably need to lean in the other direction. Second, there's an open shot, you got to take it. And they've not done a great job of rewiring themselves because that's just not who this team is. But to his previous point, how many three-point shooters, like guys that you really feel can knock down threes consistently, how many even of them are there on the Warriors right now?
Probably one, maybe.
Buttered?
Right, but even Buddy can be very streaky.
Well, anybody can be streaky, but like he's a three-point shooter.
Sure, he's right? Legitimately a three-point shooter. Quentin Post would be one, but he seems to be unplayable because defensively he's having a hard time guarding anyone. Right. So of players you can actually play with confidence, it's just the one, Buddy Hield, which is why they shot their fewest threes in the game all year in Game 3, and in Game 4, they didn't even shoot 33s. We can't even get a donation to Triples for Autism because they're not getting enough attempts.
They did get one. They got one.
That was Game 2, I believe, right?
Game 2?
When they got that. Because Game 3, they only took 23 threes.
No, but they made 10 of them.
In Game 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
Game 3. Yeah, exactly. But anyway, Game 4 they didn't, and Game 5, I'm told, hasn't happened yet. So we'll find out. But yeah, you don't trust Pods to shoot a three right now. You don't trust Moody to shoot a three. GP2 anywhere but the corner, you don't trust.
Moody's not allowed to play.
Yeah, exactly.
So, under half of a made three for Pajemski tonight. What are you taking?
Oh, the over.
Over.
Yeah, over.
I'm with
over.
You.
I mean.
Because he's still going to be on the floor a lot.
Well, and the
what
thing,
about over 1.5?
Now, just relax.
It gets dicey. That's getting a little rich. I do give Pods this much credit that even when he's not shooting it well, he still is going to shoot it. You haven't seen him shy away from a shot. He's taken 24 shots in the last two games, even though he was 1 of 10 in Game 3. Did that deter him and make him gun-shy in Game 4? No, he shot 14 times. And that was my problem with Jimmy Butler. You cannot have a game where Pods shoots more times than you do. I'm sorry. And I know he was under the weather, so I'm going to give him a little pass.
You don't want that.
That's a recipe for a loss.
Yeah, again, I just don't. I don't know what's that creatable when a good defensive team looks at the Warriors right now and says, "Don't let Jimmy shoot." I mean, that's the defensive meeting tonight for the Wolves. Period. Period. Don't let Jimmy shoot. Rudy, you have a foot on him. Don't let him shoot. Well, that's gonna be tough. You want Jimmy to put up a shot. What if it's just constantly getting blocked? Which, by the way, has happened a lot already in this series, too.
A little bit. In the third quarter, he was, you know, he tried to drive down low, and he tried to draw the foul, and he didn't get the call.
He's smoking layups sometimes, too, because he's trying to adjust his shot because he thinks it's going to get blocked.
The audacity.
Exactly. Let's go to Jay in Oakland. Hi, Jay. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thanks for taking my call, fellas. First of all, I just want to say I'm OPH. I'm an original Pods hater. allow me to just respectfully push back on a couple of your points, Willard.
Go for it.
When you're saying that this Pods hate is recent and you didn't hear it when the Warriors were a good team. When back in November, December, January, when they were muddling around the 10th of 11th place, I don't remember anyone thinking that Pods was playing good basketball. He was inserted in the starting lineup around February 10th, which was, surprise, surprise, the same time that we traded for Jimmy. So I say that the Warriors started playing good basketball more because of the trade of Jimmy, not because Pods was inserted in the starting lineup.
Oh, I agree completely, Jay. Jay, agree completely on that. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And my last point I want to make, two last points. I don't think Pods is a role player. I think, like Dev said, he's a starting shooting guard. If he's a role player, I don't think anyone looks at their role player and wants them, encourages them to shoot 10 three-pointers a game like the Warriors wanted Pods to shoot. What other role player around the NBA are they encouraging them to shoot 10 threes? Again, well, my last point I want to make real quick before.
Yeah, go ahead, Jay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
The last point I want to make about this Pods hate is recent. The last two games, Pods have been struggling the whole postseason outside of that Houston game. That Houston series went seven games, and Pods had one good game.
Not true.
You know what
Not
percentage
true.
He shot?
Very good in game
you know
one.
What percentage he shot?
Very good in game one, Jay. Very good in game one. Look at the numbers.
But Willard.
Yes. But
Willard,
well, no, but you know wait, Jay. Jay, hit me. Hit me. Like game one, yes or no?
But I'm about to make a point, and well, then I'll answer.
You already made a point. You said only
you
had one good game.
Do you know his shooting percentage for six games? And take out that one good game against Houston. Do you know his shooting percentage in the other six games?
I don't, but I know it's bad.
31%.
Yeah, but also, like, will you meet me halfway? Was game one good? Do you know the numbers?
It was okay, yeah.
Yeah,
I got
okay.
The numbers actually pulled up in front
okay,
of me.
Okay, so it was more than one good game. I'm not going to sit here and get into an argument with anybody, and Jay, thank you very much, about whether or not Pods has been good in the playoffs. That's not been my argument. He has not been good. I also would push back, as you put it, that the Warriors, quote, wanted him to shoot 10 threes. You sound like there's a script for an NBA game. Nobody told him, go out there and shoot 10 threes. If that's the open shot, you take it, and the Warriors are totally up a creek without Steph Curry. So, yes, there are a bunch of people shooting shots that I don't want shooting shots. I just argue that when you're in the starting lineup, that does not mean that you're not a role player. Like a key player, those are the key players. That's Anthony Edwards, that's Julius Randle, and maybe McDaniels. Everybody else is a role player. So, yeah, Naz Reid, role player.
He comes off the bench.
Yeah.
But yeah. If your starting two guard is a role player, then you're not a championship team.
So who are the starters for the Wolves? All five of them.
You've got a great defender in McDaniels.
Okay.
You've got Gobert.
Okay.
You've got Edwards.
Okay.
And who else do they start? Let me look back at the box score.
Exactly.
Right.
Memorial Day weekend is almost here.
Mike Conley, Hall of Fame caliber point guard.
Oh,
right?
Key player, role player.
Right.
Swing by Mike Conley's not a role player?
He's an 18-year veteran. He's a point guard.
What does that have to do with anything? He's a role player.
You know what his role is to be a phenomenal point guard.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, everyone has to be a 25-point-a-game scorer. Otherwise, they're a role player.
Swing by Valvoline Instant Oil Change and make sure your vehicle is road-ready. No appointment. Stay in your car. Done in about 15 minutes. Visit BayAreaOilChange.com for locations and coupons. Hope TJD is huge tonight because he is key, because he is a starter. Warriors Live is next. This is Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.